This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello, and welcome to Apple This Extra number 57. Dave Nason is my name, and I'm joined in the co-host chair by fellow team member Thomas Donville. Thanks for joining us, Thomas.
Hey, it's great to be here. It's been a long week. Busy week too, right?
It has indeed, a very busy week, WWDC and all that. And we are absolutely delighted and excited to be joined by Apple's Director of Global Accessibility Policy and Initiatives, Sarah Herlinger. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah.
Well, thank you, guys. And wow, you nailed that title. We were just laughing at the fact it's a doozy. So thank you.
That's why I said it before your name, Sarah, because it would give me less time to forget the whole title, you know? So Sarah, do you want to quickly just tell us, you know, about a little bit about yourself, like what you do at Apple?
Sure, yeah. So in my role here at Apple, I think the chief thing that I do is just act as an evangelist for accessibility, both within the company and externally. So, you know, internally, I work with many of our teams to make sure that accessibility is a priority in the work that we do, and that that sort of baseline design philosophy that we have, that accessibility is done early and often, is there for every product that we produce. And then externally, I do a lot of our work to just make sure that the rest of the world knows the work that we're doing, and that we spend, I spend a lot of time interacting with individuals from many different communities to, listen to what are their priorities, where are their areas that we can improve, and just make sure that that information gets back to our teams.
Fantastic. And can I ask you a big picture question then? What is Apple's, I suppose, view of the role of accessibility in technology? So what's Apple's view on accessibility?
Well, I think, in the broadest strokes, our view is that accessibility is usability. Accessibility is about everyone being able to use our products. I think that, we love what we make, and we love the fact that other people love what we make. We really geek out on the work that we do across all of our products, both in terms of accessibility and for the general public. And I think, we want to know that everyone can use our products and that they will love them as well. And so we see accessibility as just an extension of that. Why would we want to know that anybody couldn't use our products?
That's a lovely way of putting it. It's about maximizing the user base, essentially, isn't it? It's just everybody is different. Everybody has different needs. So therefore, let's design our products in such a way to suit the maximum number of needs. Is that essentially it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's really customization. To your point, everybody uses their products differently. We are all unique in this world. And so, no matter who you could find someone who has, I'm an eyeglasses wearer. I look at other people who are eyeglasses wearers, and I know that the way they've configured their iPhone or their Mac is probably different than the way I did, just because we're unique in how we use our devices. So by building in a real range of accessibility features and having a lot of them, it allows people to really customize in a way that works best for them.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with that. I love what Apple has done. I mean, I have been one of those. I remember having an iPad Nano back in the days, and it's just like, oh my gosh, this was so incredible. I thought so independent, and it was able to talk to me, and I was able to use something. And now we've got so mature, and now we're up to this point in time, and that, a majority of the people that I work with and people that I see day to day is that Apple is like the gold standard in accessibility, and they have really led the pavement for others to kind of expand on what they're doing. And, it's starting to grow like that because, we see Microsoft and Google trying to do the same, but Apple's just still makes it so wow factor, as in they really try really hard pushing and accessibility for the developers, for making awareness and things like that. And I think that's why, a majority of the people that are visually impaired own an iDevice, just for that reason. It's just the simplicity and that the motivation and the direction that you guys took with this. And that's what's so powerful about Apple.
Absolutely. It reminds me of my first Mac. I had been using iPhones and everything with VoiceOver, and I was using Windows at the time. And I had a choice. Do I buy a new Windows machine and a screen reader, or do I buy a Mac with it built in? And even when I got the Mac, I sat a sighted person down beside me to get it set up. And then immediately just hit Command F5 and went, oh no, you can go away. I don't need you after all, because I had that independence because of that.
Exactly. Approach.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, you really have to think about accessibility holistically, and it's so embedded in our culture. You know, it really has been one of our core corporate values since the start of Apple. And so when we think about accessibility, it's our products, but it's also our stores, it's our services, it's the content. It's, you know, accessibility is something that it's not just a one-off. It's got to be done everywhere. And so I think as much as we can lead the charge and or lead by example, we want to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's great. And to be always thinking of that, you know, we see new features being announced and we always scratch our heads and go, how are they going to make that accessible? And yet somehow you find a way. And it's
totally.
Well, I give all credit on that one to our amazing engineers. We have an unbelievable accessibility engineering team here. And really, you know, engineers across the company who are thoughtful about this. So it's always amazing to me that they're able to do it. And I think the creativity and just, you know, engineering abilities of this team is just, I'd put them against any other team in the world on this. They're just amazing. Yeah. So I feel very lucky.
I even remember when you announced the wheelchair support for Apple Watch, and I thought, I'd never thought of that. And I'm not sure any other smartwatch makers had thought of that, you know, and it's such a big impact on a huge population of people. So yeah, it's really good.
Thank you. Thank you.
We wonder as well, kind of what's new or what's a key focus at the moment in the accessibility at Apple?
Sure. Well, we launched our new announced our new operating systems, I should say. We'll launch in the fall, but we announced our new operating systems across all four platforms. And as always, you know, there's a mix in what we do around accessibility. I think to the point that you just made about making an announcement about a general feature for everyone and figuring out how to make that accessible. And then there's also the, what are some of the things that have been done specifically to support different communities in the disabilities realm. And so there's some great features we're really excited about for this year. Some of which falling into the realm of general features. I think even one thing to bring up just at the start is the focus on performance that we've done this year. You know, iOS 12 will run on all of the devices that support iOS 11 from the iPhone 5S and later, all of the iPad Air and iPad Pro models, so all of the things that we had from our last round as well, which I know within the community, there's a lot of people who keep their devices for a while. And so to be able to still get great performance on those and to know that, you know, they can move forward with the next operating system is a great thing. So we're excited about that, the foundational work that's been done on performance this year. Another one that I'm really excited about is the Siri Shortcuts. Siri Shortcuts is a way to be able to create kind of complex Siri actions and do so with just simple commands. So you can kind of create your own multi-step actions. So for example, you could just say heading home as a Siri command. And by doing that, that could set off a set of actions that would include, you know, alerting a family member that you've left, being able to get your directions, and just have it start the maps to set up directions to go home, bringing up your favorite music, you know, all of those different things without having to go through all the steps of saying, okay, I want to send a text. I want to get my music going. I want to go to Maps. So being able to have all of those things at once, which I think from the broader accessibility perspective or broader disabilities perspective, that can be really helpful for a lot of individuals who might be reliant upon a caregiver to support them. And so having that, you know, ability to create these really much more complex Siri commands and do them in a really simplified hands-free way.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to playing with the shortcuts. I have to say that was one of the standouts for a Monday for myself. Thomas, you spoke very highly as well about the performance and the effect, that which is a form of accessibility in a sense, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as Sarah has mentioned, it is no doubt that you know, a lot of blind and visually impaired people, they're budget constrained. So they have a fixed income. And so you're absolutely right. They're running on older devices. I do have a 5S I kept a long time ago just for that testing purposes. And I have so many people that still have the 6 Plus and the 6S and even some with the 5S. And I think this is dynamite because it's like essentially boosting, giving them the ability to have a brand new phone in a way, because the boost that this getting onto these older hardware devices is going to be just as speedy as they got a new one. And this, it really plays outside of the States, where other countries where people don't have quite as the income or the access that we do. So they have to get these older devices. So this is dramatically going to improve a lot of people that are visually impaired in other places. And I think that's dynamic. And I really love this, the Siri shortcut, quite a bit. At first I was kind of like, you know, what am I going to use this for? But, you know, I currently use Workflow and IFTTT, and I already have all this great idea I want to use it for. I think once people get a hang about how that works, I think they're going to be absolutely more used than what people think they're going
to
do.
I think the library will really help people to get going with this.
The walkie-talkie on my watch is the big one. That's my point.
Oh, I'm so excited you like that one. Yeah. Yes.
I absolutely love that.
The walkie-talkie is fun. I think that's going to have a lot of great applicability for people as well. You know, there's so many moments in our lives where it's great to be able to talk to individuals, you know, in our close circle, and just do it really simply and easily. And even if that's just having somebody, or, you know, having someone in your house say it's time for dinner and just be able to connect with you easily. It's
That's exactly what I was thinking, Sarah. I was thinking,
get out of bed.
No, I was like, I came down to my wife. I said, oh my gosh, we got a new way to communicate. It's called the walkie-talkie. And whenever you need me, you just push this button and we'll do walkie-talking. She was like, what? And I was like, think about it. Kids could have that when you say dinner's ready, because she's always yelling throughout the house, right? You know, dinner's ready. And this way it'll be much easier for us to communicate. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm excited for that. And that is awesome.
Yep, yeah. It's a great feature for the watch. So super excited for that one.
I understand a huge congratulations in order to you, because just recently, if people don't know about this honor, you have been elected with the American Foundation Blind for being on the national board. And so how did that come about?
Yeah, well, it was an incredible honor for me. I've really been a huge fan of the work that the American Foundation for the Blind does. You know, through the years, I first interacted with them years and years ago when I first started in my role here, and they took me through a really interesting project that they had done, a research project around digital displays and visibility for the low vision community. And just the thoughtfulness of the way they had done that research study really impressed me. And I work with a lot of different organizations around the globe. But, you know, so there's certainly one I'd always sort of, you know, kept in touch with and did a lot of work with. But they approached me and asked me if I would be interested in joining their board. and you know, bringing some of the tech knowledge that I have in general, and knowledge of a lot of different disability types to their board. And I was really honored. So I was thrilled that I could join.
Oh, it's just, I think it's absolutely fantastic to hear a person like you in the position that you're in with Apple, that it just makes you feel so privileged and honored to have you on, but also that there's some connection between a nonprofit organization like AFB that now will have a kind of a direct connection with Apple themselves. If, you know, if there's,
it's that two-way communication that can really is opened up there. It's fantastic.
Exactly. Instead of them complaining and whining or coming to you with something that, you know, they can actually, you're there. You got the door for them to be able to do that. So what kind of things do you think that some of the roles do you think you'll play into the AFB? Do you have any ideas?
You know, I think time will tell. They, you know, Kirk Adams has recently joined as their president. I have a ton of respect for him. And, you know, we've had a few discussions on kind of where their, what their future looks like and where I might be able to help assist. And I think, you know, we'll, I feel new enough to it that I'm not really, you know, sure that I know exactly where we'll go with it yet, but I'm really open to seeing what we can do.
I think they'll find a way for you.
I think they'll find space. So if we bring the kind of background to the Apple part of the conversation, is obviously Apple has created these fantastic platforms and the 10-year anniversary of the App Store, which is congratulations. It's amazing to think it's been 10 years. We sometimes still come across apps, you know, third-party apps that aren't fully taking advantage of the features that Apple are providing. Like, what are your kind of thoughts on inclusivity of third-party apps and around advocacy to those developers?
Yeah, we work with a lot of developers on making their apps accessible. You know, there's sort of a whole way that we look at moving apps from good to great, and accessibility is a big piece of that. How do you make a really fantastic, amazing app? And so, you know, even with WWDC going on this week, we have a couple of sessions focused specifically on accessibility that will be going on over the next couple of days to help teach developers who may not be familiar with all of the elements around making apps accessible on what to do. We've been doing those sessions as part of WWDC for years and years, and you can go onto the developer website, which is developer.apple.com, and go to the accessibility section, and you'll see just years back of video recordings of all of those sessions to help developers learn how to make their apps more accessible. And then we've developed an app store area around, well, actually multiple areas in support of apps for accessibility, as well as the popular apps with VoiceOver collection that we have, which really helps up-level apps that have just done an amazing job of making their apps accessible and continuing to do so, that the community knows that those are apps that will always, you know, and hopefully work for them. And when they don't, we appreciate it when people let us know by writing into both accessibility@apple.com, which is our public facing email address, but also writing to the developers and letting them know. I think it's a two-prong effort. When we get those emails, we do go back and go to those developers and try and figure out ways to help them make their apps better. But I think it's also incredibly important for developers to hear directly from the community and have that voice, because even for me, the best ways that I can advocate for accessibility within Apple are to have stories from the communities which tell our own engineers where there are limitations and where we need to do more. And it's one thing for me to just say, hey, you should do this, but it's another thing when I can actually pass on the personal experience of someone to say, you know, if we just did this one extra thing, if this bug got fixed, that would be better. And I think even when you're talking about those third-party developers, I know sometimes people say they don't get the best response from developers, but I still think it really matters to express yourself and express yourself in a way that is complete, not just the your app doesn't work, but here are some of the points where I've found problems, so that person has some direction around what to do. Because the biggest thing I've found in working in accessibility for the years that I have is people have good hearts and they want to help. Sometimes they just don't quite know how to. They may not have had an opportunity to interact with somebody in a community before this. So regardless of which community, you know, we would talk about. And so by having someone who writes a thoughtful email and says, here's how you could do better. I think that, you know, that really helps developers to improve.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And that education piece is a huge part, because people can be maybe feel daunted by it, don't they? When you say, look, your app isn't, I'm visually impaired, I use this thing called VoiceOver and your app doesn't work for me, and leave it there, that they could maybe be a bit, well, I don't know what to do, you know, unless if you can really give them that extra push in the right direction or information, help them towards the information.
Even when it comes down to, I move through an app and I get button, or I get, you know, 47926.jpg rather than home, then they can understand, well, gosh, if I just change the name of this image, that would help things. And maybe they never knew that something was reading out the names of their images, so they didn't realize that they should name them something logical. Mm-hmm. So all of that information helps.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, a lot of them are, believe it or not, I still think there's quite a few of them are just unaware. Mm-hmm. And even though, my gosh, as many years you guys have been coming on, it seems like, for me, it seems like it's getting more and more stronger, how Apple is coming through the stance of including the disabilities, especially in high profile keynotes like a WWDC. I mean, there's been several WWDC where you have videos specifically for those that with disabilities and trying to help them move forward and how to make themselves more independent. And so that alone, it shows everybody, not only who is there in that theater, but globally that's listening, that are developers, to hear those things. And that is huge. I mean, just making a single announcement, I think it's going to reach a lot more developers than you guys realize. And whether maybe that's purposely or not, but making that more aware, and that is always welcoming for us, because sometimes it makes us feel so much better when you hear Apple in a major mainstream event that they include somebody that will speak on behalf of accessibilities and disabilities. And that's just like, wow, I have never seen that before. And they actually made a timeout to do that. And so, you know, that is exactly what I mean, is that Apple leads in stride for accessibility. And I really, really appreciate that. And I know everybody in the community does as well. It's just making us aware to people out there, and not just hiding us in a PowerPoint
corner. I think another bit that stood out to me, I remember last year Workflow won the Apple Design Award, didn't it? And I think accessibility was specifically called out as, you know, a reason for that award. Is that correct?
It was. Yeah. Yep. We do try and look at, as once again, as part of that, what are really great apps are they using a wide range of our foundational APIs and kind of code base. And one of those pieces that gets looked at in that package is, hey, are there people who have, you know, they used our accessibility API? Are they, you know, building these apps to be accessible as well?
And Sarah, of course, we're talking to you in the week of WWDC. So firstly, thanks so much for finding time in what I'm sure is a really busy week to talk to us. What did the accessibility team and yourself get up to in this week?
What are we getting up to? In terms of what are we doing specifically at WWDC? Or
Are you around, I assume you're around the conference quite a bit, your team.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we are, we will be running our sessions over the next couple of days. So we have sessions on Thursday and Friday, and we also have open lab time for much of WWDC, both to have, there's sort of two ways that we run our lab time. There's signups in the morning to come and have an individual audit of your app. And then we also have open lab time that we're running on both Thursday and Friday, all told for almost a full day's worth between those two. So that's always fun because we get a giant, well, and I think actually to speak to your comments about how it's continued to grow and how sort of the momentum is building. I remember when I first started at WWDC early on, we would have some people who would come to the lab, but it wasn't an overwhelming number of people versus, you know, when I think about last year's, we had a line that went straight out the lab area and wrapped around a corner. And, you know, a lot of developers who are getting so much more interested in this and are coming in with what's fun, some really complex questions. Some, I am doing custom UI, but I really want to make sure that this is accessible. So can I talk to an engineer who can help me walk through this? And so the labs have really become a key part of WWDC for us. And we bring in our entire engineering team to just be there and help engineers work through, you know, from the simplest to the most complex of issues.
That's fantastic. And it's great that there's that level of support for developers. And even those who aren't lucky enough to be in San Jose, they get to you know, see those presentations, as you said, done over the years. So I think it's great. And it's a great thing for us as users when we're advocating to developers to let them know about, you know, those things that are available to them.
I love that story. I really love that story, Sarah, because, you know, that says a lot because, as you said, I attend to a lot of conferences myself, and it's always, you know, there's always those a few seminars that you don't, there's not as many people as you would expect, but I love hearing that story, how you said when you first came on that it's like hardly anyone there, and but, you know, you're being real and you're being true, and now just to hear that there's just oodles of people now taking interest in that, and I can only point to one direction and who's responsible for that, and that's you guys, and making emphasize, you know, this is really important to us, and that is absolutely a cool story. But you know, you guys made recently a announcement as well. It got my excitement because back in the days I was a programmer, and when I went blind, it just became so difficult. It was just very difficult to use and to be able to hear all those lines. And now the expansion of the Swift training classes you guys are offering to the various schools for the blind and deaf. I was just totally astounded that you guys would come out of the way to offer such classes like that and make it so accessible that we are treated as well as like any developers to create our own apps. And I just, wow. And I, so are you behind that push as well on that new training?
Yeah. To give a little bit of background on that, that is our team that is spearheading this. And what we're talking about is something called Everyone Can Code. And the Everyone Can Code program is something that Apple started a number of years ago as a way to really bring coding into schools, into education, and allow, you know, to get students to think about coding as a language and learning that language as a, you know, kind of a prerequisite to employment in the future and things like that. And as a sort of one of the foundations of Everyone Can Code is a program that we created called, or an application we created called Swift Playgrounds, which runs on iPads. And it is a kind of a game-based app that allows individuals to learn the Swift programming language. And one of the interesting things for us was as with really with everything that we do, or sort of, you know, the kind of the way we think about design, we built Swift Playgrounds to be VoiceOver compatible. Right from the start, at launch of the product, it was, you know, it worked with VoiceOver. But what we found was that a lot of people weren't utilizing it within the blind community to learn to code. Whether that be a lack of, I think mostly just a not realizing it was, and maybe that was because people thought, well, how could you make something like this accessible, or why, or, you know, whatever reason it was. So over the last year, we started with a session at the NFB's Youth Slam, working with some kids and showing them how easy it was to use Swift Playgrounds, and then took that to the Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired and did some work with them there, and then did some work with California School for the Deaf. So really looking at, let's make sure that people are aware of how easy it is, but that let's also be thoughtful in thinking about maybe what are the things that have kept people from embracing it, and how do we build additional tools to support individual communities and potentially their needs. And so right now we're looking over the summer, we're building out some additional tools and curriculum and looking at how do we just make this really easy to be adopted by schools for the blind and also schools for the deaf, and, you know, really anyone who uses our assistive technologies to understand this is a program you can use too.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I'm excited about it. And, you know, it isn't about you guys just pushing the idea about we have this and we have this for the developers, but you're also reaching out to us to say, hey, this is available. We want to make awareness. And so it plays in two places. So you're not only helping developers, you're also helping us to be able to be more freely independent and be able to say, you know what, I can do that. And that says a lot about Apple itself and the people behind it to make that possible. It's just extremely beautiful.
Well, I think technology can be a great scaffold for people to live out their dreams. And, you know, my start in the realm of accessibility was working in Apple's education division on special education. So my heart is always with kids. You know, it's with making sure that a student never has a point in their education experience where someone says to them, well, you can't be what you want to be because you're blind, or because you're deaf, or because you're a wheelchair user. That to me is unacceptable. And so if technology can act as that scaffold to help someone to live out their dreams, I'm in. And this, I think, is just another example of that, that, you know, if someone wants to be an engineer, let's help them be an engineer. Let's do it. You know, another thing that we actually recently have been working on is a standard for Braille display manufacturers to be able to sort of have a single standard for how you connect via Bluetooth or USB from a Braille display to many different types of technology. And this is something that we did. We worked on this industry-wide with a lot of people to make this happen. And, you know, that to us is sort of same as this. It's looking at how do we improve education and unemployment and know that people have those kinds of connections that will help them be more successful.
Oh, I think that's a great message to end on. I think it's technology is all about not looking at what we can't do, but how technology can help make sure that we can. You know, yeah. That's ultimately what it's all about. So, Sarah, you have been really generous with your time. Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck with the role with the AFB and the week at WWDC. Enjoy.
Thank you very much. And I really appreciate you guys asking me to be a part of this podcast series. It's an honor to be included. So thank you.
Thanks so
You're
much.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for your time as well. It's a pleasure, and it was wonderful to speak with you and give our listeners some a voice to be familiar with who you are and how you represent Apple. And so I think that message is going to go quite far. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. And thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleVis Extra. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.applevis.com. Follow us on Twitter @AppleVis and like us on Facebook.